Greetings, friends. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program with Dr. Bob Teal, bringing you news and analysis of world events in light of Bible prophecy. Dr. Teal, today let's talk about repenting from and confessing our sins. Where can we find that subject in the Bible?
Well, the Bible clearly teaches repentance in places like 1 John and Acts 2:38. Okay. Many wonder about what's called auricular confession to a priest and penance.
Okay, what is auricular confession and penance?
Auricular confession is a practice of secretly confessing sins aloud to a priest. The term auricular refers to an act of confessing into a priest's ear. Now, in Roman Catholicism, once you do so, the priest then tells the confessor to do some type of penance. When I was Roman Catholic, I remember they tell me to say certain prayers a bunch of times. And the claim is if you do this, the priest is able to give you forgiveness or absolution of your sins.
Does the Bible teach that?
No, but there are some scriptures that various ones point to. For example, Roman Catholic translation of James 5:16, the Douay Rheims I want to read, says, "Confess therefore your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be saved, for the continual prayer of a just man avails much." Now, by the way, notice that is not a command to confess sins to the clergy, ministry, or priest, yet that's how the Church of Rome has interpreted it. Furthermore, the Greek word translated as sin in there is a mistranslation. The Greek word for sin is actually hamartia. That's not in that verse. The Greek word for faults or offenses, paratoudumata, however, is. A proper translation would be to confess your faults to one another and pray for one another, or other translations put it, confess your offenses to one another.
Wouldn't faults be the same as sins?
No, we all have strengths and weaknesses. Not all these weaknesses are sins, and offenses aren't always sins. Some people get offended, you're not sinning.
Oh, okay. Is there any place in the Bible that actually says to confess sin?
Absolutely, but it doesn't say anything about confessing to a priest.
Okay.
So let's go to 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 7. Now, this has the Greek term hamartia multiple times in it for sin, and I'm going to read again from Roman Catholic translation of Douay Rheims Bible. "But if we walk in light as he's also in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he," is Jesus, "is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." That's who you're supposed to be confessing to. "And cleanse us from all iniquity. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So we see that Christians are supposed to confess sins, and Jesus will forgive them. And there's no discussion about penance there, or by the way, in James 5:16. Now, I want to add that Jesus also added another requirement for forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 14, I'm going to read it from the New Jerusalem Bible, Roman Catholic translation. Jesus said, "Yes, if you forgive others their failings, your heavenly Father will forgive you yours. But if you will not forgive others theirs, your heavenly Father will not forgive your failings either." Now I'd like to read this from the Orthodox Standard Bible, which is also the same as the New King James the Protestants use. Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you will not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses."
You know, Dr. Teal, is that actually telling us that God will, before he will forgive us, we have to forgive others?
Well, that's what Jesus taught. But anyway, okay. Notice that what Jesus said did not involve confession to a priest either.
Do any early writings teach anything about confession and repentance?
Yes. In the first century, and this isn't in the Bible, there's something called the Letter to the Corinthians, often called First Clement. And the Church of Rome accepts this as a valid letter, whatever. It says the following: "Let us look steadfastly to the blood of Christ, and see how precious that blood is to God, which, having been shed for our salvation, has set the grace of repentance before the whole world. Let us turn every age that has passed and learn from generation to generation. The Lord has granted a place of repentance to all as such who be converted unto him. Noah preached repentance, and as many as listened to him were saved. The Lord, brethren, stands in need of nothing. He desires nothing of anyone except a confession be made to him. You, therefore, who laid the foundation of this sedition, submit yourselves to the presbyters, receiving correction, so as to repent, bending the knees of your hearts. Now, I read that part about presbyters. That means elders. That wasn't talking about confessing to a priest. This is talking about some people who rebelled against the church authority. It was nothing to do with what we call confession, the way the Roman Catholics do it. Now, in the second century, Ignatius of Antioch, who's a Church of God leader and considered to be a Greco-Roman Catholic saint, wrote, "And as many as shall, in the exercise of repentance, return to the unity of the church, these two shall belong to God, that they may live according to Jesus Christ," which is basically the same thing we read from the letter to the Corinthians. Mm-hmm. Ignatius was teaching that those who left the church should be allowed back if they repent. That is not the same as teaching that individuals who left the faith have to fulfill some type of prescribed penance.
Well, then how did the Church of Rome get penance?
Well, there was a Roman bishop who was considered corrupt by the name of Callistus, and he was a factor in getting more involvement from some of the clergy. Now, here's what the Catholic Encyclopedia says about him and this. Pope Callistus, reigned 218 to 222, published his peremptory edict in which he declares, quote, "I forgive the sins both of adultery and of fornication and to those who've done penance." So he's claiming he can forgive sins himself. Now, because of Callistus' decrees and actions, another person who had been in the Roman Catholic Church, a guy by the name of Tertullian, a lawyer, he actually dubbed Callistus sarcastically our good Pontifex Maximus. And Pontifex Maximus, which is the title the popes took later, was a pagan title. This was the title that the emperor had because he was supposed to be the bridge between humans and the pagan gods. And so Callistus was called that, and that was in a derogatory way. Now, furthermore, by the way, just let me mention, according to the Greco-Roman saint and bishop Augustine, auricular confession to a priest was not a required practice in the 4th or 5th century. He wrote, quote, "Forgive us the sins. You have this article decreed, fits in perfectly when you receive baptism. And because we sin later, prayer is provided. What's the prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Once for all, we have the washing in baptism. Every day we have the washing in prayer," end quote. Mm-hmm.
So up until the 4th or 5th century, at least some leaders in the Roman Catholics agreed with the Bible. Is there any other verse that they point to as proof one is to confess to a priest?
Yes. The Catholic Encyclopedia pointed to John 20, verse 23 as proof that this is to be made to a priest. So I want to look at it. I'm going to read it from the New Jerusalem Bible, Roman Catholic translation, starting verse 21 of John 20. Quote, "And he said again, peace be to you, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And after saying this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive one's sins, they are forgiven. If you retain one's sins, they are retained."
Well, doesn't verse 23 confirm the Roman Catholic's position?
Actually, no. First of all, consider that no early leader in the Church of God or the Greco-Roman Catholic churches believed this meant Christians were supposed to confess each of their sins to a priest who was prescribed penance. Okay. That's clear from church history and something else we're going to get into. Now, historically, I want to read something how the Church of God explained John 20:23 last century. Quote, "Some try to use John 20:23 to prove that persons in ecclesiastical offices have the power to forgive sins." Then they quote the verse. However, It doesn't mean that mere men can actually forgive sins in a spiritual sense. God alone can forgive sins. Christ spoke these words to his future apostles in the context of church authority. He was giving them the power to disfellowship those who were dissenters or heretics and to bring them back into the congregation upon repentance. And that's exactly what we see from like Ignatius wrote down. Now, auricular confession before a priest was not an original belief of the Catholic Church. Somebody sent me something from a Roman Catholic theologian that he wrote last month. It says, quote, "Gradually the church developed the communal practice for reconciliation after baptism. Typically, penitents would remain outside church gatherings demonstrating their repentance by prostrating themselves and then publicly confessing. In medieval soldiers returning for war regularly spent an extended period of penance in monasteries in recognition of the church's teaching that any war is inherently sinful." But they still thought that was okay. During the Middle Ages, the practice of individual confession developed and was now in Ireland. This rite introduced private confession to a priest, and eventually this rite became repeatable. Individual confession was codified into church law at the Fourth Lateran Council in a meeting of bishops in 1215, end quote. So confession for a priest didn't get formally adopted by the Church of Rome until the 13th century. So clearly, this was not a belief of the original Catholic Church.
But did the Roman Catholic Church continue to push further beyond the 13th century?
Yes. Despite it not being an original practice, in the 16th century, the Council of Trent declared, if anyone denies that the sacramental confession was instituted or necessary for salvation, and that the church has not observed this from the beginning, let them be an anathema. So they said, if you didn't think we originally taught this, you'd be put out of the church. Yet, that differs from what the catechism of the Catholic Church currently teaches. And the facts. Catechism of the Catholic Church says, over the centuries, the concrete form in which the church has been exercising this power of confession received from the Lord has varied considerably. During the first centuries, reconciliation for Christians who committed particularly grave sins after their baptism, like murder or adultery, they had to have to publicly profess their sins, and sometimes wait for years before they were allowed back in. Then it says, but during the 7th century, Irish missionaries, inspired by Eastern monastic tradition, took to continental Europe the private practice of penance, which does not require public and prolonged completion of penitential works before reconciliation with the church. From that time on, the sacrament has been practiced in secret between the penitent and the priest. This new practice envisioned the possibility of repetition and so opened the way to regular frequenting of this sacrament. It allowed the forgiveness of grave sins and venial sins to be integrated in one sacramental celebration. Okay, so that's what they're doing now. So obviously it should be absolutely clear that auricular private confession was not, quote, ever observed from the beginning, like the Council of Trent statement said. By the way, the Council of Trent was supposed to be dogma of faith, and it was approved by the Pope. And that's obviously an error because it contradicts church history and what's now admitted in the current Roman Catholic Catechism of their church. The truth is that the Bible does not teach confession to a priest. The original Catholic Church did not believe in auricular confession to priests, nor did the original Catholic Church advise penance or require penance. Oh, the Apostle Jude wrote that Christians are to, quote, contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, Jude 3, which is what we in the continuing Church of God strive to do. Therefore, we in the continuing Church of God do not have a sacrament of confessing sins to our clergy, as we hold to the original Christian practice of encouraging individual repentance and confessing sins to God when asking for forgiveness.
Thank you, Dr. Teal. For more interviews with Dr. Teal, in addition to written as well as audio articles, visit our website at BibleNewsProphecy.net. This is Steve Dupuy for the Bible News Prophecy Program.